This station, in cooperation with the Federal Civil Defense Administration, presents by transcription, And the Winds Came. Here, high in the upper air, is a birth no mortal before has ever attended, the product of a wedding of the forces of nature, as ethereal as the stuff it's made of, air. Listen. Did you hear it? Maybe not, for there's no sound as yet, just a faint swirling, an eddy high above the sultry plains of America, early, very early in the morning of a late spring day. There. Life stirred again, the rising of warm, humid currents that drift upward from the parched prairie land beneath, to be met inexorably by cold and heavy air currents sinking from the upper reaches of the sky, the beginnings of a storm. Let's see what lies below as we descend. Here below us is the town of Centerville, population 50,000 people, more or less. Dawn is about to break, and on the street below us a familiar scene, the milkman.
Let's see. Conway's, 2 quarts. I wish I could persuade them to take a regular delivery on cottage cheese. Boy, gonna be another scorcher today.
Ken Conway.
Huh?
Didn't you hear the alarm? Get up, you'll be late to work.
Okay, Agnes. Yeah, I heard you.
Wake Carol for me, will you? Goodness, I never knew 2 such sleepy heads.
Oh, it's too hot to sleep last night. Hardly got a wink. Sure wish it would rain.
And high above again, a mass of cold air from the Arctic polar wastes of snow and ice drifts from the northwest, and from the coastal regions of the tropic seas, the lower wind, the warm breeze, blows gently at first to meet it. And in a westbound plane, the pilot feels the turbulence and announces to his passengers,
"Your attention, please. We're changing course and altitude to avoid a cold front. For the next 15 minutes, there will be rough air. Now fasten your seatbelts, please. Thank you."
While down below in Centerville, Al Markley and Harold Summers are opening shop for the day and hear the plane as it flies over.
I'd like to travel in one of those sometime.
Not for me, Al. If the good Lord wanted us to fly, he'd have given us wings. Ain't gonna be another scorcher today, I guess.
Afraid it is. Doggone it, Harold. If I didn't know this country around here better, I'd swear it was tuning up to rain.
Better not say that out loud unless you want your customers to think you're crazy.
Well, I was just going by the looks of the clouds up there.
Rain. Whole darn country's drying up and getting ready to blow away. I gotta fill a prescription.
At the Conway house, it's breakfast time.
Where's Carol?
Washing her face. I sent her up to do it over.
Yeah, why the fancy getup?
My working clothes. It's Thursday, remember?
Yeah, good old Agnes. Always faithful. How would civil defense ever get along without you?
You might be glad someday I learned first aid.
Oh, so that's the latest one, eh? I thought you were the type that fainted when you had to bandage Carol's finger.
Ken, that's not so.
I was only kidding you.
Whether you know it or not, Ken Conway, we're living in times when anything can happen, including enemy attack with nuclear weapons.
Okay. Just so you don't practice putting splints on me.
I pray every night that I won't ever have to. That no one will.
Hi, anything left to eat?
You don't deserve it if there is.
Well, Mother made me wash my face.
Sit down, Carol. I'll bring you toast.
Why so solemn, kitten?
Report cards today.
Last week of school, huh? What's the matter? Afraid you'll have to stay in the second grade again next year?
Well, not everybody passes.
Here you are. Eat your breakfast now. I'll run you to school in the car on my way to civil defense meeting.
Okay. But I wish I didn't have to go. Daddy? Would you be awful mad if I didn't pass?
Awful.
I could take care of that, I bet. I just wouldn't come home again. Never.
Carol. Don't ever say that again, even in fun.
Why?
Not ever. Because, well, without you, there wouldn't be a home. No home at all.
Of course there would. That's silly.
It's not as silly as you might think. Hurry up now. Let's get going. You'll be late for school.
High, high above the loves, the hates, the fears of Centerville, a motion starts of swirling air. Two masses, one of hot and one of cold air, clash. And dainty, lace-like threads of lightning flash within the growing building clouds. A dance begins, a whirling waltz increasing as the jarring music swells. A wedding dance from which will come a whirlpool, then a vortex of onrushing, spinning wind. But down below in Centerville, life goes on as usual. The thunder is too far off to hear. The lightning is unseen. It's almost time for classes to begin at Carroll's school. The principal is talking to the teachers.
I know that a lot of you are giving class parties this morning, and I don't want to spoil the children's fun. Now, that's why I'd like to warn you not to plan anything until after 10 o'clock. Now, our final drill of the year in civil defense is scheduled for 9:45.
Won't that be just the duck and cover routine? Where the children duck under their desks and cover their faces?
Now, Miss Watkins, that may save lives in case of an unexpected atomic attack if nothing better is available. But I'm very glad to report that our school is among the first in the country to prepare ourselves with much greater protection than merely covering up can afford.
How do you mean?
Well, from now on, we're planning to use the larger portion of the school basement as a shelter area. Now, when the signal sounds, I want you to have the children march in an orderly fashion down the basement stairs and to follow the instructions on sheets which I'm going to pass out to you and which I hope you will study over carefully.
Goodbye, Mother. Will you be home for lunch?
Certainly I will, Carol. Be careful crossing the streets, won't you?
Of course I will. Hey, I'm here, Dorothy. Wait for me.
Up into the swirling storm mass, too violent now to penetrate by mortals such as we. And look out unless we be sucked into the raging funnel and forever lost. A quick glimpse is enough. A giant is being born. A giant named Tornado. At his place of work in Centerville, Ken Conway pauses to remark,
"Hey, it's cooling off."
While down the street, Al Markley says to Harold Summers,
"My gosh, a storm is on the way. I told you so."
The milkman stirs out of his daytime sleep and calls,
"Ella, I hear thunder. Close the window for me, will you?"
Agnes Conway, at her first aid class, wraps a bandage around a simulated burn and tells her patient,
"I don't like that wind."
And at Carol's school, alarm bells sound.
"Now, children, remember what I told you. You're to act exactly as if this were a real emergency, an attack by enemy bombers. Rise from your seats, step into the aisle."
From the upper air, the roaring winds twist downward in a funnel, atomic in its might. A cow, a tree, a barn are sucked upward and then dropped and smashed. A blade of straw is driven deep into a fence post and left unbroken. And in the way of that black funnel of death-dealing wind lies an obstacle, a town, the town of Centerville.
Tornado!
Hi, Tornado!
Sister's coming!
Tornado!
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 It's over, just like that. The tragedy has struck, swift and deadly as a nuclear bomb dropped on a defenseless people. Hear them? Those are the wounded, dying, mangled. Others you cannot hear. The dead are silent. And all in 20 seconds of unconquerable force. Defenseless people. Defenseless? Not all of them. Some have been trained to help. Volunteers, workers giving up a part of their spare time to learn to aid the wounded, fight the fires, search through the wreckage for the injured, the dying, the dead. The men and women of civil defense. And the children. What about the children?
The school. The school's collapsed. My Ronnie, Dorothy, they're dead. Dead. Dead.
Then Ken Conway, running through the streets, clamoring over bricks and rubble, autos overturned, and coughing from the smoke of burning buildings.
The school. They said the school's collapsed. Windows sucked out by the vacuum from the twister. Walls blown inward. Carol. Carol. Oh, dear God, let Carol be all right.
Al Martley, dead. Harold Summers, dead. The milkman, dying. Agnes Conway, fate unknown. Carol Conway, buried in the wreckage of the school. Buried, but...
All right, I want everybody who's had training in civil defense to help me handle this wreckage.
Let me.
I'm sorry, Conway. This is a job for people who have had the training. Our kids are down there in that rubble somewhere. We can't risk killing any more of them than the tornado did already by going at this thing blindly.
You've got to let me do something.
Ken, you're safe. I thought...
Agnes, Carol's...
Yes, I know. Oh, Ken, you're hurt. Your arm...
Yeah, broken, but there's no time for that now. I've got to help. I've got to...
The first aid station for this section is right over here. And if you don't want me to splint you, like you said, there'll be somebody else. Oh, Carol, darling, wherever you are, you're in God's hands. God's hands!
And to the east, the newborn giant called Tornado is growing old and tired. The whirling winds slow down. The funnel loses shape. And staggers, deadly still, but dying too. Back in Centerville, there comes a sound which mingles with the cries of those in agony. A sound of singing. But from where? Not here upon this once proud street which lies in ruins. Not here where Harold Summers' dead hand clutches at the prescription he was filling when the wind came by. But here. Here where the schoolhouse lies in ruins. Why the song?
Agnes. Agnes, have you heard? The children in the basement of the school. All of them, Agnes. All of them.
Yes, Ken. I heard. They were down there for a civil defense drill when the tornado struck. They're all unharmed.
And singing. Imagine singing. That means they... They have to be all right.
Yes, dear. The doctor says you must sleep now. Carol will be here when you wake up.
And the winds came, and the winds left, and the giant at last is dead, dissolved into the elements that formed its power. But there are other winds, some of them man-made tornadoes with the force of atoms torn apart, blasting, searing, killing all those in their path. No one knows when those winds may blow. Will you be ready? And the Winds Came was written by Jack Weir Lewis and produced and transcribed by the Rocky Mountain Radio Council for the Federal Civil Defense Administration under the production supervision of Nat S. Linden.